Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Sean Waltman thinks TNA will fail within the next 8 years. So does everyone else. What do you think about this, Aaron?
I disagree. I think that there is a place for TNA, and I really do feel that TNA will be around within 8 years. He had made the comment that he thinks that WWE is going to snatch up their video library, you know, meaning that they're going to fold. I got to disagree with him. I really feel that there is a market for a second wrestling company.
Well, I mean, you're right. I just don't know if TNA is going in the right direction. I think they'll fail, and the rumor is now that they're talking about going to PG-13 as well. That's kind of a big deal.
They're already PG-13, though. I mean, for the most part, they're not R-rated, you know? At least I wouldn't consider them R-rated. And they're definitely not PG.
Well, I think, though, that they're eventually going to go in that direction where it's PG-13 maybe the last hour, and the first part PG, kind of like how the WWE's been doing it lately. Where they had the safe stuff up front, and then you put the riskier stuff, you know, when most kids are in bed. You know, it could be that way.
You know, we'll see. We'll see. The other big thing going on right now is that China is a train wreck, and Sean Waltman actually came out and said that he's really worried about her and thinks that she really needs help. What do you think about this situation?
This is a horrible situation. I guess she was at a couple parties where she kept collapsing, and then she did a photo shoot in a pool, if I'm correct. And she ended up collapsing there as well. The woman's on a lot of stuff. And she's drinking. She's probably taking pills and who knows what else in order to be at these conventions. She's really messed up. She really does need to go to rehab. I mean, you know, X-Pac was, he did have one night in China, as we can say. So anyway, so TNA re-signs two great people, but one horrible one. Who's the great? Who's the worst one, Aaron?
So they re-signed Austin Aries, which is a really big deal. They re-upped his contract, and I mean, it goes to show he deserved it by far. The other notable one was Earl Hebner. Earl Hebner got re-signed to TNA, which that's not that big of a surprise. You know, and I feel he still has a few years left in him. But they also re-signed Gunnar to a 3-year deal.
Yep. So everyone is upset about that. But the one thing that people are even more upset is that Ric Flair and Alex Shelley basically have left TNA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of a big deal. I don't know how many dates Flair had left on his contract, but Shelley's the surprising one because I didn't think he'd ever leave.
Yeah, the Ric Flair one doesn't surprise me too much. And, you know, he'll have a place at WWE. So, kudos for that. He'll be able to pay for his bar tab then, because obviously he was living a very outlandish lifestyle while at TNA. Alex Shelley, though, one half of the Motor City Machine Guns, the best tag team that we have seen wrestle in the past 10 years, I would say. And he is leaving. He's actually leaving for WWE. And the rumor is that WWE is looking to create a really solid cruiserweight division. And they were actually talking about featuring this on SmackDown, which if you have been listening to the show for a while, we had talked about that what they should do is that they should have SmackDown be the focus of tag teams, women's wrestling, cruiserweights, things like that, and mid-card wrestling, of course, too. And then just have one superstar on there.
Right.
I think that this is actually a move in the right direction. I am very sad to see Alex Shelley go. I think that it is so sad for him to leave TNA, to leave Chris Sabin and leave the Motor City Machine Guns. And I actually think that Chris Sabin's career probably won't go a whole lot of places without him.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see him as being the solid number one guy. However, though, I think Alex Shelley, if he is in the cruiserweight division, he can shine in the WWE. If they put him in some sort of program with Daniel Bryan, I don't think it'll work. Because I think that he is just too small in size. But a cruiserweight program, I think then the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, and the thing is, I do like how you point out with Chris Sabin. I wouldn't be surprised if eventually he gets signed to, you know, to a WWE contract, just especially if they're going with the tag team route and people are enjoying the cruiserweights. Be kind of nice to have those guys come back. It just depends on who owns the trademark to Motor City Machine Guns is really what the thing is.
Yeah, they'll have to change the name. And Alex Shelley, too, that's not his real name. Chris Sabin, not his real name. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they'll go with. If they're smart, you go with the name. You know, a name that they have made that people will know. But it's WWE.
Yeah, so they're
going to
give him something like...
And they changed low-key. Low-key.
Yeah.
Okay, low-key. You know? And think of it this way. If they would have kept that name, and let's say he would have stayed there, you had the movie Thor come out where the Bane bad guy is Loki. And even though it's low-key, which is spelled a little differently,
mm-hmm.
it's still going to be a little confusing. Just a little. And so it would have made sense. It would have been a smart move, I believe. So I'm afraid that they're going to change the name again, and it's going to be something stupid. And, you know, they're doing it for branding purposes. I'm going to be really sad if they do that. But the next big piece of news, Andy, is that they're saying Matt Morgan might be coming back to the WWE. What do you think about that?
I think this is actually a big truth. Now, some people were saying that the Revolution ads coming out were Matt Morgan, but I have to tell you, I did some investigative work on this. I pulled up a picture of Morgan, and one of who I thought it was, CM Punk, put it next to it, it's CM Punk in those ads. It is not Matt Morgan, it is CM Punk. And this supposedly is going to be dealing with the new WWE game coming out in October. And they're doing a little press for it since E3 is just right around the corner. You know, unless you were the guy who had a Wii U controller and you took a picture of it, you have been terminated. But yeah, So anyways, it's not Matt Morgan, but he will be back with the WWE here shortly. Anyway, so this is the biggest rumor right now is John Morrison and Melina may return, but to TNA. Now, do you think it's really going to happen or is he just playing with people?
I think that this could really happen, and I think that Morrison would shine in TNA. My thought is this. He signs a one-year contract with TNA. He works very little because TNA, of course, has a very light schedule, so he doesn't have to go and do all this crazy touring. He gets to have his girlfriend there who can then be a part of the knockout division. So you have that going for you, and you do that for a year. You just tell them, look, I want a year-long program, and I'm going to take some time off. And then he could go back to WWE and make the WWE money because he'll make okay money at TNA, but obviously WWE, he'll make a lot more money. So I believe that this rumor is true, but I believe it's not like he's going to be the main attraction there. He's just going to be there for a short time. It'll be a pit stop.
I'm going to disagree. I don't think he's actually going to go to TNA. I think maybe if he gets fired from the WWE, you know, or his contract runs out again, I think he will go. I do not see him going to TNA at all. I see him coming back to the WWE around SummerSlam or basically when they start the cruiserweight stuff because that's what he wants. That's how he wants to wrestle. And that's what I think is going to happen. So
Maybe. But Andy, let's move on to Over the Limit. So Sheamus retains the World Heavyweight Championship. What did you think of this and what did you think of the match?
It was boring. I didn't think it was that good. I mean,
really? What did you think of the ending, though? Was the ending exciting at least?
No.
Really?
Honestly, I could care less about this match. It was very predictable. Sheamus was going to win. You knew it right off the bat. And they're setting up for him to have the title for another 3 or 4 months already.
I got to disagree. I love the ending. I like the fact that Jericho put on the Walls of Jericho and then Sheamus came out to do the bro kick, but Jericho ducked and then did a code breaker on him. And so you thought, oh, crap, Jericho could win. Because you were expecting, you know, when he put the walls on, or I'm sorry, when he put the Boston Crab on, you were expecting somebody to come out and do something to him, because it's happened so many times before. I was very happy with this. I liked the ending. I felt that it was it did a service to everyone involved. And even though Jericho was the one pinned, I actually felt that he came out looking not worse, which is important, because unfortunately with all his other matches, he always comes out looking worse. So I got to disagree. I wanted to move on to the next piece, which was a returning Christian wins the Intercontinental title.
I can't believe that he's already been back, though. That's the thing. But the fact that he came out, beat Cody Rhodes, I was kind of in shock about. But then there's rumors that, oh, Cody's taking time off, which is not the case. But I thought it was interesting Christian comes back just to win the IC belt, considering he was just your World Heavyweight Champion, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Looks kind of weird to me.
I hate it when they do that, too. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to agree with you there. The other thing that I really question is, why have Big Show win this title at WrestleMania? What was the point in that?
So he could have his WrestleMania moment.
Which is dumb, because you basically had the title change hand three times in the span of 2.5 months, just to let you know.
Yeah.
So what's that say about the title? What's that say about, you know, what's that say about people holding it? I like that Christian's back. I like that he's back as a face. I don't like the fact that they're having him feud for the IC title, because I think that he's better than that.
Yes. He should be facing Sheamus. But the thing is, with him coming back as a face, Sheamus is your face. You got to have a heel, you know, go against that face, because you don't want to do the face on face thing yet.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the CM Punk Daniel Bryan match, I got to say, I was kind of disappointed. I thought it was going to be better. I don't think it was. I think it was less than what I expected. And it was kind of a weird finish. Of course, CM Punk did tap after the three count, so he barely retained. But something, I don't know how to explain it. Every time I try to put words on what I wanted so much out of this match. And then when it came, it's like nothing. It's like, wow, that was very disappointing.
I disagree with you on that. I enjoyed the match. I thought that this was better than the ones that we saw for free a couple months back. I also felt that this match, it felt more vicious. There was a time where Brian was putting the knees to Punk. And I mean, it looked vicious. And it looked like these two did not like each other. That was something else I really wish they would have played up, is that these people, you know, like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, if they would have played up the fact that they had unfinished business from their time in the indie scene, that they were, you know, at Ring of Honor, because they showed Ring of Honor photos. So say, you know, they have unfinished business from Ring of Honor. They have unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of play that up, I think it would have been better. I actually am curious to see what's going to happen for the next pay-per-view, because I don't believe these two are facing each other, because it kind of looks like they're going a different route, which we'll talk about when we get to SmackDown. So, but let's move on, though, to Johnny Ace beat John Cena.
Yep, we called it. You heard it here first, off the mark. We called it.
I think everybody called it, in all fairness.
It was funny. I was hanging out with a friend of the show, Dave, and I told him, like, you know what's going to happen? He's like, well, what? I was like, this is what's going to happen. Big Show's going to, you know, come out, and all of a sudden he's going to turn on Cena since he's not a superstar. Which, by the way, they screwed up on Raw because,
but we'll get into that in just a little bit.
But I told him about that. He's like, oh, that's not going to happen. And then all of a sudden Big Show comes out. I'm like, oh, geez. It's like I wrote this. Wait, they do listen to the show. But yeah, I thought the match overall was pretty fun. Cena did a lot of stuff. Ace took a beating, and like someone his age who hasn't been wrestling for a while taking a beating like that, you got to give him credit. You know, they gave him a standing ovation, you know, after the fact. But wow.
Yeah. The one thing I will say I did enjoy was the fact that John Cena even said, you know, to him that I'm going to make sure I give you a beating. I'm not going to just beat you. Like, there's no, why would I just beat you? There's no need for that. I want you to suffer just like how you've made me suffer and everyone else suffer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure that I instill as much punishment into you as possible, because otherwise you want me, as a viewer, to believe that John Laurinaitis can withstand a John Cena punishment. No, I wouldn't believe that. Mm-hmm. But because Cena actually threw that in there, that was very smart on the WWE's part. And, you know, having Show come back, I said before, this should have been done 2 or 3 weeks ago. He should have been fired and then came back. But that's beside the point. Now, but on Raw, Andy, Show explained why he interfered in the match. And why was that?
He needs the money. He loves wrestling. He's been doing it for X amount of years. I think he's at 18 years. Doesn't want to go out that way. And that's basically what happened.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, he said was that the fans, he said, you guys didn't care when I got fired.
Yep.
And so, you know, screw you guys. I'm going to just do this.
Yeah, so then this basically, you know, this sets up, of course, what's going to happen at No Way Out. Show versus Cena is definitely going to happen at No Way Out. I'm just wondering, is this going to be a steel cage match or is it going to be a lumberjack match?
It should be a steel cage match. I think that'd be the best way to go. That way Cena can win by escaping the cage and Show doesn't look as bad. That would be the route I would go. But, you know, No Way Out isn't necessarily a, you know, pay-per-view that's only a cage match, so.
Right. So something weird happened on Raw. Chris Jericho came out all of a sudden and started beating up Randy Orton. But I thought Jericho was going to be leaving for a while and not coming back, but is that true, or is he just taking some time off then coming back and working full time?
I don't know. You can never tell with somebody like Jericho. When you have these part-time wrestlers, you don't know what's going, you know, and who's going to be coming. So I do not know. I think that this might be a good move, because that way, if Jericho does leave very soon, he can come back and there can be a feud there for him. There can be that boiling, you know, that kind of, they're letting it simmer, so to speak. So I don't know. I like Jericho. It's going to be sad that he's going to be going. We're going to wait and see on this one.
But I think what's going to really happen is that he's going to take time off for the Fozzy tour. And I bet you he still has one more full year left and then he's done. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's kind of bad timing for both of them. But we'll see what happens. So let's move on to SmackDown. So Sin Cara promos have been shown. And of course, he's wrestled at a couple house shows now. But on SmackDown, he's returning next week. That's right, not this week, but next week. So you got to wait one full week to see him.
Before you see the botched entrance.
Yes. But see, now it's SmackDown being taped. They can do that entrance all they want. They'll get one right.
Oh, yeah, eventually. They'll have them jump a couple times.
Yep. So Alberto Rio actually he gets in a three-way, and he becomes the number one contender. Very impressive. They set this up. Del Rio, of course, was gonna. You can just tell that he was going to face Sheamus, and of course, Sheamus is going to beat him in No Way Out, which I think would be...
I will say this much. No Way Out happens in 4 weeks. They have two matches already set for it, so kudos to them. Because let's face it, a lot of times it's this booking on the fly crap that they do, or they don't set matches until the week before. At least they're doing something right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, finally. You know,
I can make a judgment call right now whether or not I'm going to buy the pay-per-view. Which normally I would say no, because it's probably crap. Mm-hmm. But
well, something else that happened also is that Daniel Bryan started beating Kane up, actually, during the match. And so it looks like they're going to be feuding, which, you know, why? Why did Daniel Bryan come out and start beating him up?
Well, it goes back to something that happened 2 weeks ago where Daniel Bryan attacked Kane so that way he beat CM Punk, and then, you know, Kane beat the crap out of CM Punk.
That's right.
This week, same thing happened, except it was Daniel Bryan in CM Punk's place. So Daniel Bryan is just trying to get some heat back. I'm curious if this is going to be a kind of in-between feud and it's going to go to the pay-per-view, or if this is just going to be a side feud and Punk will still be feuding with Bryan, or with Bryan will be feuding with Punk.
Right. Who so knows,
I don't know.
Dude?
I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, maybe Zack Ryder's going to get thrown in there. You never know. I mean, they're burying him. Or they just bury Daniel Bryan while they're at it.
Kudos to the YouTube, you know, pre-show that they did.
Come on. And first of all, speaking of that, why do you have the match within the first few minutes? Or you might as well just have two matches. You have that match, and then you have another match leading into the pay-per-view where something big happens, and then people are like, oh my gosh, I got to get the pay-per-view. That's what Heat was. He was that for a long time. I remember Elimination Chamber, they flashed it once, and they said that all of a sudden people all of a sudden started buying stuff because mm-hmm. they saw that chamber, and they're like, oh my gosh. So, anyways, let's move on to our longest-running sponsor. That is HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. And make sure you check out the Off the Mark section. On section 86, there's a little banner at the top that says WWE Save 10. If you click that and also use that promo code, you'll save $10 off any order of $70 or more at WWEshop.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So the TV title is being defended again. Okay, so it's defended, but last week it wasn't. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, we had talked about it before. It's something that is a sticking point for us since the TV title is supposed to be defended every TV time, you know, like mm-hmm. TV taping, I guess you would say. Definitely a sticking point for me and for you. It got defended again. D-Von defended it against Garrett Bischoff, and this went to a no contest.
Oh, jeez.
And it was one of those things where we went, okay, you're really going to believe that Garrett Bischoff can hang with the, I believe D-Von's the 23-time tag team champion. Mm-hmm. You're gonna make me believe that Garrett Bischoff can hang with him.
Yeah, really? Come on. I mean, are they really trying to push Garrett that much? I mean, he may have 10 years in him, and that's it. And that's if he's good. That's the keyword.
And he's not. They're gonna give him a title. Mm-hmm. They will give him the TV title. I almost guarantee you that. They will probably give that to him. And I could even see him making a run for the world title.
Oh, jeez. Anyways.
It's very sad. It is very sad because there are so many more people who are more deserving than him.
And he's going to get it.
I don't believe he'll get the TNA title.
Well, he won't get that, but he'll definitely get the TV title.
I believe he will, yeah.
Yeah, so let's move on to Bully Ray and Abyss. They're going to be feuding now. And, of course, because of something that Bully did, he actually called out Abyss's brother. Actually called him out. I could care less about the whole Abyss thing, dude. I think they're going the wrong way about this story. I think it's wrong.
I like Abyss, and I think that these two will put on a really great hardcore match. That's going to be one of those things. I think they'll probably go to Hard Justice or Hardcore Justice, whatever you want to call it. I'll probably go to then. I like Abyss. I like Bully Ray. I like what he's been doing, and I think that these two could be a big money-making feud for them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how long this feud takes, if they're just going to wait. I think Slammiversary is the next pay-per-view. If they're mm-hmm. going to wait till then, or if they're going to stretch it out a couple of pay-per-views, who knows? But we're going to see some good hardcore matches definitely coming up from these guys. It's going to be awesome.
Now, Andy, the next big piece of news is that last week we were under the impression that the four people who wrestled for a fatal four-way match. That right. made sense, right? Because there were eight people, four people wrestled. Yeah, that wasn't the case. You know what happened, Andy?
What's that?
Oh, is that Hogan chose the person that was going to be in the match. How stupid is that? How dumb is that? You know what? Have four people wrestle, okay? And then bring it down to two people. And then say, you know what? You two are going to wrestle. And then whoever wins is going to take on Robert Roode. No. Instead, Hogan's like, you know what, AJ, you're the man.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
That is so ridiculous. Why do they have, why? Unbelievable. Hey, at least I called it. I said AJ was going to win it or actually go for the title. But of course, Robert Roode beats him. Yeah. So he's just on another losing streak. He won once just so he could lose the big one.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So I guess, of course, now he must face Sting though next week. Kind of a big Roode, deal. Yeah, is. Robert Roode does. Yeah. Not AJ, because AJ's gonna face probably Gunner.
No. And probably lose to him.
And probably lose to him.
Now the big thing that happened here though is that having Sting come back he's going to, of course, get in Rivalry Root's face because they had a match a few pay-per-views ago. And it was a pretty big deal. And Sting's been off TV for a little while. So it'll be nice to have him back. And I like Sting. I think Sting is a great on-air personality. And I think that even still in his old age, he's putting on some, you know, decent matches for someone his age.
Yeah, that's why he needs to make one run with the WWE for 6 months and just call it a career. That would make everyone's day. So, anyways, let's move on to our weekly topic. We got TNA and WWE changes, and these are actually really big changes. And the one that's the biggest, I still think, is the WWE is permanently moving to 3 hours for Raw. Now, are they going to run from, 8 to 11 Eastern Standard Time, or are they going to run even, you know, early or later than that? Are they going to do 9 to 12? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm thinking that they're going to do 8 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. The main reason I think that they'll do that is they'll try to get that audience early in the night. They'll try to get the kids who will want to watch it. So you're probably going to see Cena. You'll probably see Brodus Clay. You'll see some of these more character type wrestlers in there at the beginning hour. And then you'll probably see a little bit hardcore wrestling later on. Or I shouldn't say hardcore wrestling, but you'll see CM Punk. He'll be in the final hour. Right. He's not going to be the first thing.
But you remember when WCW actually did this and it worked for 2 weeks? Do you think that they're going to, you know, seal their own fate by doing this and then going to the only the 8 to 10 o'clock hour? Because, you know, the 9 to 11 is owned by the WWE.
You know, I think what is going to happen here is that the WWE is going to try this out, and then they're going to realize, you know what? 3 hours was special. So they would do 3 hour shows, I would say 6 times a year, maybe. I would guess, you know, this is purely a guess, roughly 6 times a year. And those shows were supposed to be special. I think that's the way to go. I think having a 3 hour Raw every single week is kind of boring. And how many times, how many times can we see Cena on screen before we get tired of him? How many times can we see Punk on screen before we get tired? You're going to have to bring in a lot more talent, and you're going to have to try to make these feuds. You'll try to have to make these matches go on. And if they do it right, and the right way would be this, you will have pay-per-view matches. So you're going to have your Cena, you're going to have your Orton, you're going to have Sheamus and Punk and everybody like that do pay-per-view matches. That's going to be their big matches. But if you have feuds that actually start and end on Raw, that would be smart to do. So let's say Daniel Bryan has a feud that with Kane, for example, that it is a Raw feud. So this is a thing that's going to last for 4 weeks. They're going to have matches. They're going to have promos and everything like that. Once it ends, it's done.
Right.
That's the way that I think would be smart. I don't think WWE is going to do that. I think that they're going to just drag this out, and it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I think they'll probably end up doing that. And I think the real reason they're doing this is because once the WWE Network is actually launched, they want to have their own special show at least 30 minutes, if not an hour prior to Raw. But here's the problem they're going to run into. It's the show starts at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right? So Pacific Standard Time, it starts at 6, right? Is that?
No. If it starts at 8, that starts at 5 out here.
Oh, that's right. So if it starts at 8, it's going to start at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. That means you're going to have to be leave to go to the arena around 3:30 at the latest. And plus, they always have a dark match. And if they're taping Superstars right before, then they're going to get into Raw. I think this is a mistake. You're almost going to have to say Mountain Standard Time is the furthest you can go for Raws. And only SmackDowns will hit the Pacific Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
I just see a problem with that.
I see a problem with it too in regards to that, because the other thing is that out here, originally, I would actually get Raw live. So Raw would start at 6 o'clock for me and at 8. It was awesome. All right, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, though, apparently USA has wised up. They now have a West Coast feed, which is unfortunate. So Raw for me starts at 9 o'clock out here, which for you is 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. You've already seen Raw. I can go and read the spoilers. So the WWE Network would have to keep that in mind. Right. So if they're going to be running Raw, it has to start at 5. Because if they have a pre-show that starts at 4:30, I'm not going to watch the pre-show afterwards. I mean, I think that's dumb. I also think that that would get into a much bigger discussion about, you know, time zones and whether or not things should air live, such as a wrestling event, which I believe should air live.
Mm-hmm.
That's beside the point. But I do think that this is a mistake. I don't think that this is a nail in the coffin, but I do believe that they will revert back to 2 hours.
Yes, they will. I can agree with you. So the other weird part, this is probably the weirdest news. TNA is going to record live all summer long. So mm-hmm. that means every Thursday it's going to be a live show. So here's what's going to happen. They're going to tape 2 shows on Thursday and then take a week off is what's going to end up happening eventually.
I think that's smart for them. I think it would be very smart for them to do to record a show on Thursday.
Yep.
Or to record live and then tape. I think that's very smart to do because I really don't like knowing that something big is going to happen. And if I know something's going to happen, I'll read it. And then I get disappointed because it's like crap, you know, mm-hmm. like it would have been so big, so much bigger if I would have watched it live. I think it would be a smart idea for them to record Thursday and Friday, you know, and do that every 2 weeks, you know, just do that. Boom, 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 you know, knock it out. I think it's smart for them to go live too, because, you know, it's going to give fans that sense of anything can happen. And then the shows that are not recorded, the shows that are live, bigger things will happen that night.
Correct. And that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. It should be a good run. I'm just wondering how long it's going to last, because I have a feeling it's going to last only so long, and then they're going to stop it. Mm-hmm. And then we're not going to be able to watch TNA while we're down in Florida.
Well, I think that, you know, TNA, I think this is a step in the right direction. I hope that they continue with this. I also hope that they are able to get enough money and enough viewers where they can actually go live every single week and they don't have to tape at all. I think that would be the best thing to do, and to be able to tour even a little bit.
See, I think if they went live every other week, it would be a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. I just think it would work out because it would save them money. They don't have to fly wrestlers all the time, and now they can fly them every other week, you know, save some money. I think that's what they're going to first try. And then they'll try maybe for a few weeks having everything live. But I think it'll go back to, you know, live, tape one. Except for, I bet you after a pay-per-view, they'll have a show that following night. Then they'll go live a few weeks later.
But mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see what TNA and both WWE do with these new changes.
Well, my question to you is, which one do you think is a bigger change for the industry?
3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, because they tried that once before. It failed. Monday Night Raw.
So that's why it's a bigger deal?
Yeah, Monday Night Nitro. Yeah.
Okay.
WCW.
So which one do you think is more likely to fail quicker?
TNA going live. I think that's going to fail even more because they're going to try and pull out a bunch of surprises, but that's what WCW did. But at some point, you can't have any more surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what's going to happen with TNA, unfortunately. So I wish them the best. Hopefully they don't fail, you know, big time. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to our show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.